Blog Talk Radio. All right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Swartz Presents Bible Talk. Before we even get started, I want to take this time to acknowledge and ask everybody to send some prayers up for the brother Shakan and his family as they head to out to the Phoenix, out to the Mesa, Arizona for the Most High called his son back home, Demiah Gabbar. So I'm going to just we can just take a few minutes to send the prayers up to support Shariah, Demiah's mother, during this time of mourning right now for their son, Demiah Gabbar. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and play the Shemai Yasha Allah song, just in remembrance and honor of the family there. So let me get that queued up. Our condolences for Shakar, for what he's going through, and no parent ever wants to bury a child. So again, Israel, if we could please send some prayers up for Shakar and his family for what they're going through. And at the same time, our continued prayers for Hayama and JoJo's family right now, as Monique is in the hospital. We ask for just your continued prayers, continued support, and continued love to be shown towards the Hayama, JoJo, and Monique right now, and ask the Most High to be merciful and gracious, and protecting Monique during this time of her trial and tribulation right now, and that she might be delivered from what she's going through right now at the same time also. Okay, so you know, with all this going on, usually this is when I would like to go into a reincarnation class, as just a reminder that as we're living in the valley of the shadow of death, that this could happen to anybody. That is not necessarily because anybody was particularly wicked, anybody was particularly off, whatever. But that we're living in the valley of the shadow of death. And there is two scriptures that I do want to go ahead and pull this evening as we go into this. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 24. And I'll be starting at verse 12. Right, I'll start at verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, I'm starting at verse 3. And it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 4, And Yahweh shall answer and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you.
that we have to really be careful
and being observant of these times that we're living in, and understanding that we are rapidly coming upon, well, we've been in the last days. We've been in the last days. Since 70 AD, we've been in the last days. Okay? And at the time of the fourth kingdom of Daniel, whether it was Daniel's dream or it was Nebuchadnezzar's vision, that we've been in the last days since that time. Right? It's just been a culminating of some prophecies coming together. Us coming to the Americas, being conquered here in the Americas, losing our nationality here in the Americas, and now we're regaining our nationality here in the Americas. The slavery that we've had to serve, being locked upon the reservations that we've been locked upon, even to this very time now, you've got Issachar, so-called Mexicans. Their children are being taken from them in these IMF, these immigration penitentiaries, and the children are being locked literally in dog kennels, a dog's kennel, and being separated from the families, what have you, as babies are literally sucking on their mother's breast. They're being ripped away from them and separated and split apart, no different than the shadow slavery that the so-called Negroes went through here just over 100 years ago. That this is something that is still continuing to this very day. But again, all these are signs of the last days. All these are signs of Christ's return back to the earth. I'm going to verse 12 now. And it reads, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I'm sorry, it's verse 24. I read the wrong verse. It's Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. It's verse 22. I'm sorry. It's Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. Actually, I'm sorry, verse 21. And it says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the world since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So another one of the signs to let us know that we're rapidly coming to the end of the last days. He says that for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Now, we can think about that how much tribulation has been in the world from the time of Adam's fall up until now. How many kingdoms have fell? The flood, our deliverance out of Egypt, all the plagues that we've suffered, all the captivity that we've been under. He says that the tribulation that's coming, he says there shall be great tribulation, such as were not since the beginning of the world to this time. Did Christ warns us? No, nor ever shall be. And it's going to be some severe tribulation, but we can't have the tribulation. No tribulation, there's no glory. No tribulation, there's no deliverance. Yeah, we've got this. This is going to happen. And one of the greatest tribulations that we got to realize and face is that in every other captivity that the Israelites have been in, we knew we were the Israelites. And we knew why we were in captivity. We knew we were being oppressed. One of the most oppressive tribulations that we go through now here in America is our people don't feel like that they're being oppressed. As long as I got a paycheck, I got a decent credit score, and I can live comfortable, I'm not really going through nothing. But if you come back and look at us as a whole, as a nation, and one of the scriptures I might be able to get to tonight is going to talk about in the book of Hosea, how everybody turns to their own home, and everybody makes sure they're comfortable, but yet you still have the children of Ephraim are suffering. That you have a lot of other Israelite families, not just in your immediate vicinity that you get pissed off at and irritated with because of this, that, or whatever, but we have Israelite families scattered throughout North and South America, scattered throughout the Caribbean, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth that are going through real hell. But
you have that extreme. Then another extreme, you got Israelites that are making more money than they ever made before ever, and it's not enough. You have Israelites that are have their children, have wives, have material things, but it's still not enough. It's still not enough. Or sitting there thinking like, I'm not in captivity. Y'all are in captivity. I've been watching, you know, listening to a couple of the YouTube channels. Before I get too far off the point I'm trying to bring out, this tribulation we're going through right now, at least when we were in the other captivities and we knew why we were being oppressed, we had enough common sense and understand we got to gather ourselves together and come together because of what we're going through. But it's been in this captivity that we still don't get it. We still don't gather ourselves together because for a lot of us, we don't feel we need to. I'm good. I'm comfortable. It's enough right now. I don't need to gather together. I'm not going to be dealing with that too much anymore. And that's the sad thing, that now we as a nation ain't coming together. Then that's what the Most High is looking for the nation of Israel to do. Are y'all going to finally come together? Are we going to come together? Are we going to do things His way? Are we going to judge things the way He judges things? Or is it still left to however you grew up, whatever moral standard you grew up in, whatever lifestyle you lived in, that had absolutely nothing to do with the Most High. That had absolutely nothing to do with the Most High. But I'm going to live in those judgments, but I'm not going to live in the Most High's judgments. I'm not going to judge things the way the Most High judges things. And then the crazy thing about it is now we come back at this time and can read people the Bible, read people the judgment of the Most High, and the first thing out of their mouth is, don't judge me. The first thing out of their mouth is, well, what about what you do? Well, what about you? And it's a total disregard that we're dealing with the Most High's judgments. It's a total disregard that this is the Most High's judgment, how He's looking at it. And that's the part of the Great Tribulation. On top of, the famine is already here. I know we're looking for a lot of people are looking for the Terminator, Mad Max, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Cyborg type of famine, the famine of Ethiopia. But that's not famine. That's famine, but that's too obvious. But if you consider famine is a lack of food, and we go by the definition of what food is, if it doesn't have vitamins and nutrients, it's not food. If it doesn't have vitamins and nutrients, it's not food. And where do we get vitamins and nutrients from? From if it's especially particularly fruit, from the seed. It's got to contain the seed in order to get the vitamins in the fruit. That's why if you consider if vitamins and nutrients come from our food, come from fruit, then why do we have to buy so many vitamin and nutrient supplements even to this very day? And in the midst of the Most High telling us what? That the whole earth is defiled because of the inhabitants thereof. Where are these vitamins coming from? And how do you know they're vitamins? Where are these so-called nutrient supplements coming from? And how do you know they're nutrients? And the thing that kills me is people won't read the Bible because the Bible is man-made. But let somebody claim to be a herbologist, and all of a sudden we got to listen to him. Dr. Sabi, a doctor from where? A doctor of what? But because he said it, oh, that's got to be it. But let people read the Bible and let us go and see what the Bible says, and it's a disregard, and it's you're not respecting my feelings, you're not respecting my understanding, you're not respecting my opinion. This is crazy. And it's still keeping us divided as a nation. So the true Savior, the true Messiah, can come and save us all. That's what's crazy. But reading on, this is Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no one ever shall be. Again, if it doesn't contain a seed, there's no way you're getting vitamins and nutrients from it. And the deception that we're under, and that because I'm able to put something in my mouth, this ain't a famine. I'm eating something. Something's on my stomach and I'm getting full. I catch the itis. But if it's hybrid or GMO, it's not food. But to try and relate this to our people, forget about it. To try and relate this information to our people of the importance of us needing to gather ourselves together and do the Most High's righteousness and do what's right in the eyes of the Father, in the eyes of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our people are so far removed from that right now. Still, we're reading on. And it says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. And that's another key that I want to get to. It says, except these days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. From those afflicted with diabetes, high blood pressure, sickle cell anemia, cancer, lupus, the various STDs that are out here, that for all the things that we're being afflicted with, you would think that we as Israelites would finally come together and say, what do we need to do to make the Most High happy? From all the how many early births are women given these days? How many women are not able to carry the baby long to term? And it's got to be a C-section. Almost has to be a C-section. Look at how things are going. Look at how we're living. And again, except the days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. How much more estrogen can be put in any more products? So you have the over-feminizing, the effeminizing of little male babies, and the hyper-feminizing of our daughters. Getting a body at 8 years old, getting the signs of womanhood at 8, 9 years old. This is ridiculous. But he goes on to say, except those days should be shortened, there should no place to be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That for Israel's sake, these days are going to be shortened. Because if not, it says there should no place to be saved. Now, what's the key? What's the answer to no place being saved? I'm going to go back to Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 1. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 1. It reads, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. And we know that we're the people that are not desired on the planet Earth. We're desired to be slaves. It's desired for us to be consumers, to spend our money on Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays and all these different type of holidays, what have you. They want us for that. But for anything else, we are not desired. That's why we're still talking about Black Lives Matter. Colin Kaepernick still can't get a job as a professional football player in the NFL. Still not happening. And I haven't checked the news blogs. I know right now the thing that's on Facebook a lot right now is the how many Black girls are being kidnapped and being abducted, and being trafficked. That's the word that they use now. There's a lot of girls being trafficked. A lot of Israelites, period, missing. A lot of young babies, a lot of young boys, young girls, just missing. And that's kind of the fad right now on Facebook. But the Most High still says what? He told us that these days, lest these days be shortened, lest the flesh be saved. But the solution is what? Zephaniah 2 and 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nations not desired. The Most High didn't say nothing about giving to God. But he said, those who live by the gun shall die by the gun. Die by the sword. So I'm sorry. Now, I said that after he told Peter to get a sword. He said, well, we have two. He said, that's sufficient. But we know that that was Christ speaking out of his fleshly weakness. We know Yahweh Shai did not want to go through the crucifixion. He did not want to go through the torture. He did not. But many people say, well, that was Yahweh Shai. He was supposed to go through that. But remember, Yahweh Shai was sinless. And he went through that so that we might be able to come back to the Most High now. There had to be a sacrifice of something perfect. There had to be a sacrifice of something good and unspoiled. That was Yahweh Shai. He had to go through that so we might be able to have a chance in this time that we're in right now to find out we are the Israelites and to now start doing right by the Most High. Because an innocent man died for our stupidity. An innocent man has died for our opinions and our sins and our, as we're looking at some of the scriptures today, stiff-neckedness and stubbornness. So we might develop a conscience. So we might have a heart of flesh. Instead of the cold hearts that we've grown up with. Zephaniah 2:2 says, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass of the shadow, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. And who else has been judged by the Most High but us as the Israelites? We've been judged by the Most High. That's what slavery, that's what the ghettos and the slums, the barrios that we live in to this day, that's his judgment. Unequal pay, unequal things as being unfair, unjust, no respect. This has been the judgment of the Most High. But in midst of everything we're going through, we know everybody can't stand us. Why don't we seek the Most High? Why don't we seek his righteousness? Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. That as these days approach quicker and quicker, more rapidly, are we seeking the Most High's righteousness? Like you might seek for your lost keys. You might seek for especially a lost credit card, debit card. You'll seek diligently for that. Where are we doing that same thing for the Most High? That we're seeking to do his righteousness. That we're seeking what is right by him. Again, that's the purpose of the classes that we produce. All right, that's the purpose of the class that we produce. It was in Albuquerque. You can join us at 7710 Suite F, Nile Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, at this time from 8 p.m. to roughly 10, you can join us in Albuquerque. As we go to Blog Talk, and we have brothers that also answer any questions that might arise there. That's available. And then we do the Blog Talk every Tuesday and Thursday from our remote location in Albuquerque. Starting at Albuquerque time is 9 a.m. Albuquerque time, we do the Blog Talk. www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. You can hit us up. We also have our brother schools in San Antonio, Houston, and Norfolk, Virginia. If you go to isbhbk.org, the website, isbhbk.org, you can get all the information on the location of the schools and times and locations and all of that. right, that it's definitely time for us to gather together and continue to seek to find the Most High's righteousness, to seek to find what is right according to God, what is right according to the Most High. So with that, the last scripture we finish off with, as I go into the fast now, the last scripture we finished off with last time we broadcast, last Wednesday, as a matter of fact, was Job chapter 28, verse 28. I'm going to pick that up from there. I'm going to pick it up from there, and then we're going to continue on. So the last scripture from the last fast that we did over Blog Talk was Job chapter 28, verse 28. I'm going to go back there, read it, and move on. I'm just going to ask that anybody that's tuned in, please hit me up in a text and let me know how the volume's coming across. And if you have any questions, comments, scriptures, criticisms about anything that's being brought out, anything going on, I humbly beg you, please hit me up in the text, area code 210-784-8463. Hit me up in the text. I definitely don't want to leave anybody confused or cloudy. Let's make sure that we're getting the understanding of the Most High. Let's make sure we're getting the understanding from the scriptures. Okay? So I believe the last scripture we left off with from my last class, which is Job chapter 28, verse 28, and it says, unto man he said, behold, let's see here. All right, throw it out to Haim, throw it out, brother. All right, Job chapter 20, verse 28. It says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So we finished with this class, with this scripture, the last class we did. That the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And that if you go back, as we've been going over the series, and really try to define the fear of the Lord and understanding Israel's first encounter with the Most High, when the Most High first presented himself to us as Israelites, was at the Mount Sinai, which was 3 months after our walking through the Red Sea. And from the 3 months after walking through the Red Sea, getting to Mount Sinai, and then actually the Most High speaking to the whole nation of Israel, after we complained and wanted proof that, well, Moses, how do we know God's talking to you and talking to everybody? How do we know that you're saying that it's a 7-day work week, but we're used to being in Egypt for a 10-day work week? How do we know it's really a 7-day work week? How do we know that the Most High was talking to you? He might be talking to me. That it was really getting vexing. All right. So the Most High told Moses, I heard them talking in their tents, mumbling, murmuring, complaining, running their mouth. I heard them. So they want to hear from me, in spite of all the plagues, the miracles that was done for them in Egypt, being led by a chariot at this time, whether it was a fire by night or a cloud by day. The fact that they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground and they saw the what was left of the Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea after they made it safely. Every last Israelite, man, woman, child, old lady, old woman, infant, made it across. If you was halt, maimed, on crutches, if they had wheelchairs back then, you made it across the Red Sea on dry ground. And then saw the sea swallow your enemies up. And that still wasn't enough. It was still complaining. It was still, show me something else. Prove that you really love us. Now, how do we know that God is really talking to you, Moses? How do we know? So Moses said, I got you. Y'all want to make sure it's me? Here we go. I'm going to come to talk to y'all after 3 days. So within 3 days, this week told Moses, tell the Israelites, tell them don't come with their wives for 3 days. No sex for any Israelite for 3 days. And then make sure they bathe. Make sure they wash. Make sure they cleanse themselves. Get ready. Y'all want to hear the Most High. Y'all want the Most High? Now I got you. And then remember, the Most High had Moses and the Levites build fences. Huge, incredible fences to keep Israel back. Remember, do not let the children of Jacob run up and try and peek and see me. Don't let them do it. I mean, we had Moses go up and down the mountain three times to make sure. He doesn't want to get all curious. I want to see him, and I got a right to see him. Ain't going to just come on up. So they refortified the fences, the barriers, make sure that wouldn't happen. And then when the Most High's presence was there, because Israel was in the camp, they stayed in the camp for 3 days. And it says, when you hear the trumpet, have Israel come on up. When we heard the trumpet, and I can only imagine, you know, on some YouTube videos, they show you these earth sounds. I don't even know how to explain it. And it's a trumpet sound. But this is covering the whole, it's not like an air raid siren. It's not like a tornado warning. It's like a huge ram's horn. And I can only imagine how huge. I ain't talking about something that, like, a man, Shaq couldn't carry this type of ram's horn that's being blown. And it's loud. And the bellow of it is incredible. And it's blowing. If you look on YouTube and do the trumpet of God around the world, you hear this loud trumpet sound that nothing explains how or where this is being made from. So if Israel's in our tents, we hear the trumpet sound, and that's when we approach to the base of Mount Sinai. And upon getting to the base of Mount Sinai, it says the blackness of the clouds, the all the multiple, like, tornadoes, tempests that were going off, the thunders, the Mount Sinai, which is the tallest mountain in this region, being on fire and smoking. I can only imagine, in my feeble mind, something like a volcano and an earthquake. And this trumpet sound getting louder and louder and louder and louder to announce the Most High is here. That was the first time we was in the presence of the Most High. And we begged Moses, you speak to us. Do not let the Most High speak to us again, lest we die. And it tells you that we got far off from the presence of the Most High. And some scholars have calculated a lot of Israel. We ran back 12 miles back to our tents to try and hide under the covers, just trying to escape the Most High. And this is just his words that we were hearing. That's incredible. That was the introduction to the fear of the Most High for us as Israelites. That it was supposed to keep us in order. It was supposed to keep us from sinning. It was supposed to keep us from disobeying God's word. You know, it was like a parent might use a belt with a child, but with a young person. You know, some type of disciplinary rod of correction having to be used. That the Most High wanted us to be terrified so that we would not do sin, so we can live forever. It really was the Most High showing us love. Right? As we was going over some of our class before, if you have any chance to listen to it, it was the Most High showing us the secrets. It was the Most High giving us the secrets of how to please Him. It was the Most High letting us into His heart. The Most High gave us a chance to be close to Him. Something that He didn't do in any other nation. Something He didn't do with any other people. I'm letting you know how to please me. I'm letting you know the secrets of my heart. And we like on some Delilah with Samson type stuff. God, you don't love us. You don't really care. You don't really think about what I'm going through. You don't really, because if you love me, then you do this for me. If you love me, you let me have this and let me have that. And God says, I'm not here because I do love you. But, you know, this has been our history with the Most High. So, and returning back now and catching up where we at. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says, to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 8:5. Let's go to Ecclesiasticus in the Father chapter 21, verse 11. And departing from evil is understanding that, as we give some examples about what it means to fear the Lord by keeping His commandments, we gave some commandments about, you know, laws about not charging usury, not charging interest. That if a brother waxes poor by you, you shall relieve him. You shall make sure they're straight. That's law. That's the Most High's law. And it says, and you're going to do it not because you fear that person, not because you have a respected person, but because you fear God. That I'm doing this because I fear God. It might go against everything, every dream I have might be telling me, don't help this person. Every thought, everything that comes to me is telling me, don't help this person. But because Moses said he's a brother, he's an Israelite. The fact that he's an Israelite back when this law was given, you could have been from the tribe of Dan, while this other person was from the tribe of I'm trying to think. Let's just say Ephraim. Yeah, the only relationship y'all got is that we all came out of Isaac's loins. I don't know you from Adam. You're Israelite. The fact that you're poor, the one who says, I'm supposed to relieve him. I'm supposed to make sure he's taken care of. And not charge him usury for the money I give him, not charge him increase for the food I give him, but just because the Most High said do it, and I fear the Most High, let me begin to do it. And from doing things like that, the Most High would ensure your safety. He would ensure you get paid back. If not from that particular person you helped out, but from the Most High himself. Because you're helping his kids. You're helping his children. Now, in other instances, the Most High calls the children of Israel his wife. And we read some scriptures like that also. Yeah, if you help a man's wife out of some troubles, or tribulation, or problems she's having, yeah, the husband's going to be a righteous dude and be like, man, I got you. Thank you. But that's how the Most High, again, has viewed and displayed the relationship with the children of Israel. Sometimes he's like that father to a child in love and in discipline that he gives. Other times, he would like to a marriage. He's the husband. We're supposed to be his wife. And if you help family, you'll get paid back by family. So the Most High is checking all that type of things out. So again, Job chapter 20, verse 28, he tells us what? Now to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. As much as we've been in America, and this was crazy about, again, being in America, we really do think that the things we want here in America is the Most High's wisdom. But nobody goes to study what is the Most High's wisdom. That as long as it seems like wisdom, that must be the Most High. And as I've been trying to go over in some of the series that we're going over right now, didn't the serpent present to the woman some wisdom? He damn sure did. And what did that wisdom do for Adam and Eve when it came to their relationship with the Most High? It got them kicked out of paradise. That's the third book of the Bible, third chapter of Genesis. You read that. Even if you went to church, I'm sure at some time you started a Bible reading and you read the third chapter of Genesis. The serpent presented wisdom. It was wisdom. And that wisdom got Adam and Eve kicked out of paradise. But we're here in America today, 2019, 2020, and let it seem like it's some wisdom. And there's not even one caution, one bit of hesitation, like, hold up, but is this the Most High's wisdom? No, it's just wisdom. Are you still that illiterate? How do you even perceive that that is wisdom, but the third chapter of Genesis doesn't even cross your mind? How does that happen? Job chapter 20, verse 28. And unto the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Do we go and study to see what the Most High considers to be evil? Or is it evil because my mom said it's evil? Is it evil because the dream I had said it's evil? Is it evil because, well, everybody else in the world does it this way, or it doesn't do it that way, so it must be evil? Did you study at all? Do you pick up the Bible, God's word, at all to see what God calls evil? Or is evil based just on your feelings, your intuition? It's based on a emotion. You got going on, so that's why it's evil. You got that cold prickly running down your back. Now that's evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 21, verse 11. He that keepeth the law of the Most High giveth the understanding thereof. A lot of times people don't understand the Most High. Don't understand why we got to do it this way, that way. You ain't never done it. You ain't never done the Most High's way. And that's one thing I want to get into in this class. Probably not me tonight. We have not been, our parents did not learn the Most High's way. Our grandparents have not learned the Most High's way. Our great-grandparents have not learned the Most High's way. The OG on the block didn't get the Most High's way. Dame Dash, Dr. Dre, P. Diddy, the Johnson & Johnson family, Tyler Perry, they have not been doing it the Most High's way. They don't know the Most High. So the scripture tells us what? Ecclesiastes chapter 21, verse 11. He that keepeth the law of the Lord getteth the understanding thereof. If you do it the Most High's way, you'll get the understanding of it. When you do it his way. The problem is, we don't do it his way. He that keeps the law of the Lord gives the understanding thereof. And he and the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The more we perfect our fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. But whose wisdom is it? The Most High's wisdom. The Most High's wisdom. It's like if we're gonna compare the Most High's wisdom to worldly wisdom, I guess if you're like getting a degree from Phoenix Online University compared to getting a degree from Harvard University. If it's gonna be a real worldly sense, obviously the first with a degree from Harvard, that wisdom is gonna be greater than the wisdom you get from Phoenix University, DeVry, ITT Tech. It's really not comparable, but I'm just trying to get some type of visual. He that keeps the law of the Lord gives the understanding thereof. And the perfection, the more you perfect, and how do you make anything perfect? My son and daughter now is I don't know what he's doing. Should be resting. Should be in bed right now. How do you make anything perfect? Through practice. So you can stop the excuse of no one's perfect. I wasn't made perfect. I didn't grow up knowing any of this. You're right. That's why the scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You're right. That's why it says be born again. Yeah, you got to start over. Yeah, come on. If you're born again, there's a lot of things. What things has a newborn done? That's your excuse why you can't do what the Most High says? You just let tell you that ain't nobody perfect, so that's why I don't have to practice being perfect. I ain't got to practice at all then. how kind of simple and ridiculous that logic sounds? But I'm going to read it again. Ecclesiasticus chapter 21, verse 11. He that keepeth the law of the Lord getteth the understanding thereof. And the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom. You can't get nothing perfect without practice. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, arguably. How much extra practice did he put in? How much extra practice has Kobe put in? Has LeBron James put in the basketball season? In the off season? When it comes to sports. How much practice does Serena Williams put in to become the dominant tennis player, professional, that she is? Mother at that now. Wrong father, but mother at that. How much perfection, how much practice has Mary J. Blige put in to become that type of singer? How much practice has the actress I'm thinking about is Angela Bassett. How much practice has she had to put in to perfect her craft? It's not that she just wakes up in the morning and goes and gets a part and that and done, one and done. How much practice has Kevin Hart had to be put in to be the comedian right now? How much practice did Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, how much practice have they had to put in to perfect their craft? But somehow, no one's perfect. That's why I don't have to try. No one's perfect. So that's what's to back everybody up off of you. Say you can be who you are. Not what the Most High wants. The sons and daughters of God. The sons and daughters of the Most High. No, I'm staying in my lane. And if you don't like where I'm at, forget you and the person and the horse you rode in on. You're not going to tell me that I have to work to please God. I've been hurt. I've been through so much. I'm not going to do and practice being perfect because it doesn't work. I've practiced before and it got me hurt. No. You did practice trying to please somebody, but guess what you didn't practice doing? Pleasing the Most High, because you didn't know the Most High. You're not practicing perfecting the fear of the Lord. Everything that we've done has been based on our own experiences, which by now at this time should be even further proof to you, you've not been doing the Most High's will. You have not been doing it the Most High's way. You've been doing it the way you thought was right. Or however you grew up around the people who raised you, what they thought was right. But you've not been doing it what's right by the Most High. To where now you're using the wisdom of the Most High as everybody's on this quest for wisdom. And everybody's looking for this quest and this great wisdom. Cool. Now you know you're Israelite. You got the Bible open. Why are you not seeking the Most High's wisdom? Why are you not seeking the Most High's righteousness? What's the excuse now? You might not have wisdom before you came into knowledge because you didn't have the knowledge. Cool. What's your excuse now? That, Ecclesiasticus chapter 21, verse 11, he that keepeth the law of the Lord getteth the understanding thereof. As I looked to my wife, who was a math teacher, and you keep working with students. You keep working with students. And I like math because it's in math that when a person gets it, that light bulb, you can see their face light up. When they really get the concept in that math mindset, it's illuminating. I'll say it like that.
I got the concept. I've got it now. But it takes that repetition. Going over and over and over and over and over. And then just finding different ways, little nudges, and boom, it sinks and it hits. And that person's got it. We can understand that when it comes to those concepts. Why don't we understand that when it comes to the massage concept? I'm going to read one more time. Ecclesiastes 7:21 verse 11. He that keepeth the law of the Lord getteth the understanding thereof. Once you do it enough, guess what's going to sneak in? The understanding. As you keep doing it, guess what seeks in? The understanding. Damn. Not, at first, I only did it because of whatever. But as I kept doing it, damn, I see this really does work. This really is the best way. Damn. He's the Most High. I keep doing it until I get the understanding thereof. And the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom. I keep practicing. I keep doing what the Most High says, how the Most High says do it. I keep judging things the way the Most High judges things. And that gives me wisdom. That gives me the Most High's wisdom. That gives me those mental, spiritual keys that once I got, nobody can take away from me. It's locked in. So there's an importance to us keeping the law of the Most High. And it's more than just the Ten Commandments. Oh, there's so much more. Oh, there's so much more. Let's then go to any Apocrypha, staying in the Apocrypha, just for now. Let's go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 18. Let's go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 18. And again, any questions, comments, scriptures, and I'm checking through the text again. And again, the water, Fahima, got you, the water sounds good. Any questions or comments or scriptures about what we're going over, please text me, area code 210-784-8463. Please text me, area code 210-784-8463. Hit me up. Let me know how the sound is. Let me know if you're getting the scriptures. And if everything's there, let me know. Hit me up. Area code 210-784-8463. Right? And I'm not seeing any text thread right now. So I'm move on. I'm going to go ahead and move on. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 18. Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 18. It says, the fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him. Okay, that's, I'm going to read the whole scripture first. Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 18. The fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him. And wisdom obtaineth his love. This is so interwrapped. Let's try and get into it. The fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him. As we've been going, if that fear of the Most High, if you don't fear him, to respect him, to reverence him, to obey his way of doing things, to judge things the way he judges things, if you're not even trying to do that, it's about you're going to force God, you want to force God to see things your way instead of you submitting to how the Most High sees you. How do you expect to be accepted by him?
That don't work. If you want to be accepted by the Most High, first off, you got to fear the Most High. And then how do we show the fear the Most High? We do what he says. The way he says, do it. That's the fear of the Most High. The fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him. And I like how the scripture said it's the first step, not the only step, not the last step. It's the first step. And we are not going to forget. And the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom. We're not going to forget this. Perfecting the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And that the fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him. You want the Most High to accept you? The fear of the Most High got to be there. But if that's not there, there's no way you're being accepted by the Lord God of the Bible. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much celebrity you got. I don't care how much fame you got. The fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted by him. You got to keep his commandments. Out of fear. Out of fear of, if I don't keep his commandments, something bad is going to happen. If I don't keep his commandments, knowing that his commandments is for my good, is for my good, then I'm going to disappoint the Most High. Then I'm going to upset the Most High. So, the first step, the fear of the Lord, is the first step to be accepted of him. If you want the Most High to accept you, that fear has got to be there. If you don't do the things the way he said do it, there's going to be consequences. If I don't do it God's way, there's going to be consequences. From his disappointment to his anger. So something bad is going to happen to me because I don't do it God's way. And wisdom obtaineth his love. You want God to love you? Are you doing his wisdom? By keeping his commandments so that he loves you. And a lot of people don't know if I don't know if God loves me or not. How is it you know God loves you? Are you keeping his commandments? This is not rocket science. If you're keeping his commandments, guess what? He loves you. Are you perfecting the keeping of his commandments? He loves you more. I'm going to read again. Ecclesiastes chapter 19, verse 18. The fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him. And wisdom obtaineth his love. We apply his wisdom. We apply his way of doing things. That's how we obtain and get his love. That is not rocket science. That is not hard. But believe it or not, that's a secret that the world doesn't know. The world thinks that the more high they get more spiritual. The more they just wear all white, they're getting more spiritual. The more they really get in tune and in touch with themselves through meditation and through yoga and through dreams, that I'm really getting God's love. No, you're not. What book in scripture did you read that in? Where is that in God's word? Or is that just because it makes you have a nice warm feeling. It makes you feel good. How does you feel good make that God's business? Who told you that? That sounds like some of that vain talking we were talking about when we first started this series. That vain babbling. That somebody who was illiterate didn't read the Bible, just came and said some good things, and that got passed on as law and tradition. I mean, that was one of the first in this whole series when we read in Job. Ecclesiastes, I'm sorry. It was Solomon said it. It was Ecclesiastes 5 and 7. I'm not going to go back and read it because it came too far off point. Getting back, as I scroll back down the paper I put together here, this class put together. The fear of the Lord is the first step to be accepted of him, and wisdom obtaineth his love. But whose wisdom? His wisdom. His wisdom. Obtaining his wisdom, gaining his wisdom, perfecting his wisdom, obtains his love. Okay? From there, let's go to Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 111, verse 10. Right? The 111th Psalms, verse 10. I'm going to keep my eye open for any text, criticisms, what have you. We there. All right, Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, didn't we just read that the fear of the Lord is the first step to be said of him, and wisdom obtaining his love? And that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? So guess what is the beginning of obtaining the Most High's love? You fear him. So you obey him. So you do what he says. That's the beginning of wisdom. But guess what? Wisdom has to be perfected. The Most High's wisdom has to be perfected. So if you grew up in a society, any pork, you found out that the fear of the Lord, Most High said, I did not create the swine to be consumed by humans. See, put it down. That was a good first step, because out of fear of making the Most High more mad, you should put the pork down. You know, you might have had a craving. You might have had a almost drug withdrawal symptom of needing to have some pork. What kept you from eating that pork? You know, it smelled so good. What kept you from eating that pork? It was the fear of the Most High. Regardless of how hungry you were, how starving you were, what pushed you past that starvation? What pushed you past that craving? What pushed you past that emotion? Thou shalt not. The swine is unclean for you. That's all it took. It wasn't a magic pill. It wasn't a magic, I don't know what to say out here. All it took was, the scripture says, thou shalt not eat pork. And that was all that was needed. There was a simplicity to the whole thing. Not because of the worms, not because of the whatever it might have been. It's because the Most I said don't eat it, that was all that was done. And you did that because of your fear of the Most High. That is proper. That's the Most High's righteousness. Your fear of not doing the Most High said, your fear of not going to heaven, your fear of making God mad, you were able to fight off your salvation, fight off your hunger, fight off that craving, because you had a fear of reverence, of respect of God. And guess what that did? That had his love extend to you. You were showing respect to him out of that fear. You was ready to challenge anybody that wanted to challenge you on why you're not eating pork. And You couldn't wait to pull your scriptures out to show God's word. It wasn't about showing some man's word. The joy that was felt was able to show God's word so that the Most High got the glory, not some nigga here on earth. Not some white boy here on earth, because, well, the white man said it, so because the white man said, well, it must be true. No, the joy and the power came from, I'm showing what God says. Read the scripture. You baited as many people as you could so you could read the scripture and read what the Most High's word says. And if you never got that joy or got that feeling, it's time to go back and practice then. It's time to go back and practice so you can get the understanding. And here, keep the law, get the understanding. Who the most, how the Most High is, and why he's powerful. It wasn't because of some magic potion, no magic saying, no magic. Finally, the stars were aligned just right, and that's why I was able to overcome my addiction to pork. The hell with that? No, it was out of your fear that if you don't do it, the Most High is going to get mad. For many of us, why did we travel to the Passover? Because somebody read that we're supposed to gather together in one place. And for many of us at the time, New York, if you've been in the truth that long. So what do we find ourselves doing? We find a way to get vacation time. We find a way to do whatever we had to do to get to New York for the Passover, because why? Somebody showed the scriptures. We have to get ourselves together. And we did it because of the fear of the Lord. And again, Psalm 51:11, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I remember driving from, we drove from Miami to New York completely dirty. It was me, Paul Wong, and a couple of brothers had to get to the Passover. Cal had given us a Suburban. It was a red and white Suburban. I'm sure Paul Wong remembers it. It was a red, white, and silver Suburban, and it had transmission problems. So we finally scraped and struggled and got the money together to get the Suburban fixed. It was a battle. It was a real battle, but we did it. But in getting it done, because the Suburban, it set up in the shop for a while. I'm sure Paul Wong has got those numbers. He's good with numbers. But we had to get to the Passover, and from Miami, Florida, to New York City, New York, is a 24-hour straight trip. It takes 12 hours just to drive from Miami to Jacksonville, which is the border of South Carolina and Florida. We had no insurance. We didn't even have a license plate on the damn truck. I believe Paul Wong, because he got stopped and arrested. At the time, he didn't have his license. But we did it. Why? We got to make it to New York for the Passover. We had to gather with the rest of Israel for the Passover. And it was on our way back from the Passover in North Carolina. We get stopped. I won't have to be driving at that time. They took him to jail. They didn't tow the vehicle. They took him to jail. And then we had to scrape and get the money together as brothers. We all had to, we were convoying down. Everybody had to come back. We had to chip in, do what we had to do, and we get the brother out of jail. So I won't wasn't pissed off and angry about why the hell this is some bullshit. Here I am. Some of y'all niggas, and because I'm some of y'all niggas, looking with the trouble I'm in, this is some, excuse my cussing for just any kids listening to the broadcast. So it that mentality wasn't took. It was, we had to go to the Passover, and this is what happened. I don't get mad because I was keeping commandments of the Most High. I don't get pissed off because I kept the word of the Most High. I don't get depressed because I obeyed God. But why was it easy to obey God? There was a fear of God that was there. I'm not going to disappoint God. I'm not going to let the Most High down. And I fear if I don't do what the Most High says, I might lose my spot in heaven. The simplicity that's in Christ. So again, Psalm 51:11, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. You're showing you have a great understanding. Not because you come with some worldly wisdom, but when you come with the wisdom and an understanding of the Most High, you come with the understanding that you got from applying and using the Most High's wisdom. From applying and seeing consciously. When I apply this scripture right here, it works. So I can tell somebody else with confidence, whenever you're in a situation like this, apply this scripture, it works. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So when you have a shot, I use the example all the time. So when Homicide says, agree the adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest he deliver you to the judge and the judge to the bailiff and the bailiff throw your ass in jail. Is that time to fight the power? Any time to fight for some respect, you better put some respect on it. No. I can speak with complete 100% confidence that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you're in the way with your adversary, agree with them quickly. I have experiences and testimonies that I can now give on how, when I apply the Most High wisdom knowledge to understand, it works. And why does it work? Because the Most High says so. He's the Most High. Not because I had a police athletic league badge on the back of my car. Not because I said I'm a supporter of the NRA. Not because I had bumper stickers saying I voted for Bush, I voted for Trump, I voted for all the bad presidents. So the cops got behind me, saw that, I'm like, he's a good old boy right here, we're going to let him go. Nope. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The Most High's praise is what's going to endure forever. That he gets the praise because his words work. Not because I went and started singing gospel songs. Most I get his praise every time we use his wisdom. We use our fear of the Most High and use his wisdom, and it works, and we're ready to tell people how and why the Most High's wisdom works. That's how the Most High gets his praise. As I quoted the scripture earlier, I want to get it again. If we can read once again, Psalm chapter 111. And verse 10. Psalm chapter 111 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments.
His praise endures forever. I know that it's a good gospel song, but it does say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's a gospel song, but let's read the scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine. Hold on. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. All right, for everybody. I mean, I'm still holding Psalms.
Chapter 111, verse 10. Still holding that. But now I'm in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The Most High is not woken us up so that you bury his wisdom, you bury his knowledge, so nobody can acknowledge you're Israelite and that you follow the Most High's ways, and that's why whatever works. He didn't give us this, wake us up so it can be hid. And now other men or other things get God's praise. Have we forgotten? Moses says he's a jealous God. When us would have nothing or nobody in front of him, he's jealous. We can do better. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And if for those brothers and sisters or families who have not had a chance to ever visit Albuquerque, you're missing out. One of the beautiful things about Albuquerque, I mean, whether you're from in the Northeast Heights or you're in the West Valley, damn near anywhere, you can get the city view of Albuquerque. It's magnificent. It's magnificent. You can see the whole, it can't be hid. It's no different than for those who might have driven into Las Vegas. If you're driving into Las Vegas and you're coming from the east, driving west into Las Vegas, you know, you pass the Hoover Dam. As you go past the Hoover Dam, and then you're going up, it's dark. And you come over that mountain pass, and it just lights up. This whole city of Las Vegas, out of nowhere, just lights up. And you can see the strip. I mean, that's illuminated. You can't really see that, get that effect in New York, because New York's pretty much flat. Unless you happen to get maybe in the World Trade, not even World Trade, you can't do no more. Eiffel Tower, Empire State, maybe. But for Albuquerque, at night, if you come down I-40, you're traveling west on I-40. Once you come past the Sandias, and you come around, you pass Tijeras, and you're coming up on, you pass Cedar Crest, and you're coming up on my geography. The names is Four Hills, and you're coming through. Boom! The whole city just opens up, and it's a city on a hill that cannot be hid. It's beautiful. Or if you're coming from the west, traveling east, and you hit 9 Mile Hill. Once you hit 9 Mile Hill, the whole city again. You can see the whole city from Rio Rancho all the way over to past Kirtland. It's beautiful, and it cannot be hid. But that's how we as Israelites are supposed to be when it comes to displaying the Most High's wisdom, the Most High's knowledge, and the Most High's understanding, because we fear Him. So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither
do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So all that are in the house must be able to see. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Wait for it, wait for it, wait, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That as they see your good works, they come ask you about your good works, you're able to show them scriptures about why you have good works. You have joy and want to direct them to the school so that they can glorify the Most High for your good works. Because you're able to show them the scriptures that you apply because you have a good understanding of how the Most High works because you keep applying. We keep using. We keep perfecting the Most High's wisdom, the Most High's words, the Most High's law, the Most High's judgment. So now people are attracted. People want a part. Because that's where the Most High gets his glory. Not because you go up in church and got a tambourine and sing a song. The Most High gets his glory when we apply his wisdom and people see us apply his wisdom. And you're able to show people the scriptures of what you're applying, of what you're doing, so the Most High gets the glory. So that the Most High gets the praise. So again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? Finishing up Psalms chapter 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. If you ain't keeping the Most High's commandments, that's why you don't understand why. I don't get this. I don't understand how this works. Because you ain't keeping the Most High's commandments. You're not doing things his way. Of course, if you don't use something or do something, you're not going to know how to work it. If I've never shot a gun before, don't hand me one because I ain't going to know how to work it. I'm not going to understand how this damn thing works. If I've never shot a bow and arrow before and you hand it to me, I'm not going to know how to use it properly because I don't know how it works. So, let me get one more. And we get one more for tonight as that time has approached. Let's get Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. We let this go. Let's get Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And I'll let this be the last one for tonight. I don't want to browbeat. That's not the purpose of my classes. I don't want to browbeat. Let's get some, get it, pull out. Get some, get it, pull out. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7.
We're going to read it. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, for Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, to tell us that God's people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 is telling us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we have a lack of knowledge because we don't fear God. We don't know his commandments.
We don't know what she says is proper, what attitude is proper, what behavior is proper, what food is proper, what morals are proper. We don't know. So there's no way we can fear God. That if I don't do things his way, things ain't going to work out. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What wisdom do we despise? The Most High's wisdom. Because worldly wisdom we thrive in. We live in. We love it. But let it be the Most High's wisdom. Let it be the Most High's way of doing things. Let it be the Most High's judgment. Let it be how the Most High's wisdom. All of a sudden we act the plumb fool. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I am not going to let you tell me what the Bible says. I am not going to pick my scriptures up first. I'm not going to pick the Bible first. I got to pick up I'm going to pick up some other wisdom, some other knowledge from someone else that kind of sounds like the Bible. I can hear that. Just the way the Bible comes across, it's just too rough. It's just too much. I feel like the person reading the scripture hates me because they read with so much passion. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. So with that, I'm gonna close that one out here. Let me mark where I stopped at. Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, cool. So I do want to thank everybody that did tune in this evening. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this evening, whether through the live stream here, through www.blogtalkradio.com, or if you cut on an archive show, maybe you can catch any one of our shows through Google Podcasts. If you go through Google Podcasts and subscribe to www.blogtalkradio.com and then click our page, you will be notified and be able to keep up with all the latest. Whenever we do a blog talk, you'll be able to listen to it and archive it, go back and fast forward, rewind, what have you, see anything you might have missed. Okay. As you know, on www.blogtalkradio.com, we've got all of our classes in chronological order, going all the way back. I think we've been doing this now for 7 years, I think, 8 years. I'm going to go back and check. I forget. My memory is definitely getting bad or worse as time progresses. But you can listen to any of the shows that way. We will be having a show again tomorrow morning, and the brother Tulsa Powell will be teaching tomorrow. Tulsa Powell will be having the range tomorrow morning. It'll be, again, 9 a.m., Albuquerque time, 10 a.m. San Antonio time and Houston time. And then for the East Coast, that'll be 11 a.m. All right, if you're out there on the West Coast of Cali, that'll be 8 a.m. Okay? As you know, today was also being Monday. There was class today in San Antonio at 4219 Syndicate Drive. And there was class in Houston, 8524 South Brazil Boulevard. There was class in Norfolk, 2510 Grambling Street. And the class tonight was on YouTube, was broadcast live from our class in Houston. All right, and you can like, share, subscribe to the YouTube channel, ISBHPK
Live. That's ISBHPK Live. Okay? Your brother out there is doing a fantastic job of teaching and holding things down. Everything's appreciated. Reminder, January 5th is when we're holding the raffle for the garment dairy in Albuquerque. If you'd like to participate and help out as we're trying to raise money for our garment department there in Albuquerque, you can reach us at www.paypal.me/Banizar. That's Banizar. Okay. If you want to purchase a raffle ticket for our drawing that's going to be held on January 5th, please, that's one way of getting it done. Or just go by and see the brothers at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. So with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. And please tune in tomorrow as Brother Tasa Pa is going to come in and rain down fire. With that, going to go ahead and say shalom to Israel. And again, please don't forget to send your prayers continually for Shekinah's family and right now for the brother Sahayama and our sister JoJo as Monique. Right now is fighting those spirits. Okay, she's fighting those spirits. So your continued prayers for our families, for our brothers and sisters. It says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we want to keep sending those prayers out. Ask the Most High to send protection. Put his holy angels down. Come down and touch them with his right hand and console them and relieve them from whatever it is they might be going through. And also help us support the families as they're going through these trying times right now. This one, we want to remember Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth all times, but a brother's born for adversity. As we have brothers and sisters and each other going through these adversities, this is the time we should pull and embrace each other a lot more. All right? So with that, again, my name is Rashad. Thank you all for tuning in. Please tune in tomorrow morning as we, the brother Tasa Pa will be holding the reins down for the show. With that, shalom.